All right, hey, all right. This is the Deacon and my dad.
Welcome back. If you heard a little bit in the background, Superfly, one of the best soundtrack albums ever, but we're talking about it as a soundtrack from a bad movie.
Yes.
And I look back, and during the 70s, there were a lot of what we called blaxploitation movies. And they were all really terrible movies. You know, a lot of gunplay, a lot of shoot 'em up, a lot of sex.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them had really great soundtracks.
Great soundtracks.
And they were soundtracks written specifically for the movie. Not
right.
Dropped in a little bit of a song here and there
right.
That was already a hit record.
Right, so like this one.
Yeah, so Superfly.
Mm, Curtis Mayfield.
Curtis Mayfield. And there must have been 5 or 6 hits from that album.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pusher Man, Superfly, Freddy's Dead, I Need Your Love.
All great songs.
Great songs.
Just great songs.
So, you know, and it was just really, really good movie. I mean, really, really great soundtrack.
Right.
And then some of the other ones, you think about all of the people who did soundtracks for essentially these bad black
mm-hmm.
movies.
Right.
Pam Grier became a big star because of Foxy Brown and Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those were written by Roy Ayers.
Right.
You had Willie Hutch. I'm trying to remember what... Did he do Willie Dynamite? I don't think so, because that was a really awful movie. And I don't even think it had a good soundtrack. But you had that. James Brown did a movie, and I can't remember if it was Black Caesar or Black Godfather. That's how bad the movie was.
Right.
But it's James Brown. Yeah, so,
good music.
Yeah,
good
music. It's great music. Yeah. Marvin Gaye did the soundtrack for Trouble Man.
Mm-hmm.
Another bad movie, but yeah. Great soundtrack. And, you know, even the title song, Trouble Man, was a hit.
Yeah. Yeah, they had some good artists. I mean, big artists do the soundtracks back then.
Yeah.
What was Sweetback's Badass Revenge? Was Earth, Wind,
Badass,
and Fire.
Sweetback's Badass Song.
Song.
Yeah, that was the name of the movie. It was a really terrible self-indulgent movie.
Yeah.
The soundtrack wasn't that great, but I'm...
No,
I'm
it was thinking, just...
But it was, but part of it, what it was Melvin Van Peebles
mm-hmm.
doing everything. And he was like one of the first film director, I mean, one of the, mm-hmm. in recent history.
Right.
Who took control of the entire movie. Nobody would distribute it, but he managed to get it distributed.
Right.
And it became, it's like this cult hit.
Yes, it did. And he got Earth, Wind, and Fire to do the soundtrack for it. Which is great, but
I forgot about it.
Yeah, they did. Because they weren't big yet.
I just remember he did the music, but I guess he helped write it, but they recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
now
I got to add it back to the list.
But I don't remember if it was a great soundtrack or not.
It wasn't a bad soundtrack because it was a.
So I can't
It was just like his first movie.
Yeah, it doesn't really quite fit into the. Great soundtrack yet.
Yeah, it's not great soundtrack, bad movie.
But the fact that Earth, Wind, and Fire to write the damn soundtrack.
Okay, I totally forgot about it. Okay, so
that's an honorable mention.
Yeah, it's an honorable mention. But it also, again, it had an effect on other movies.
Yes.
Because people say, hey, we can get away with some of this
right.
stuff that we never got away with before.
Even though it was a bad movie, it was very important.
It was a very important movie.
Yeah.
It inspired a genre, so
yes.
I can't. And also Melvin Van Peebles
mm-hmm.
was such an interesting guy who did. He's another one of those unrecognized Renaissance men.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you know, after he stopped making movies, he became a stockbroker.
I didn't know that.
Became a multimillionaire stockbroker.
Wow. And
said this is, you know, made a whole lot of money on Wall Street, and then finally said, "What the hell with this?" And started doing some other stuff. And then of course he's Mario Van Peebles' father.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So that's a. Start of the dynasty.
Okay, all right, so a couple other albums. I'll throw some in.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one for me is Parade by Prince for Under the Cherry Moon.
Okay.
Horrible movie.
Okay.
Beautiful soundtrack.
Okay.
Just beautiful soundtrack. And another one by him is Batman.
Now, which Batman? Because there were so many.
Yeah,
Bad Batman movie?
There was a bad Batman. The Clooney Batman.
Oh, the George Clooney Batman.
Yeah.
Bad movie.
But great soundtrack.
Okay. I have to go listen to that because I didn't have that on my list. But,
yeah. Great soundtrack.
But I was focusing on the 70s. But so let's move sort of out of the realm of not necessarily bad movies.
Okay.
But movies with a primarily black cast and with a soundtrack. So I got to go with Purple Rain because I think it was a good movie and a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, that's certainly up there.
Yeah. So I got to. Can't put that in bad movie category.
No. It's okay movie, but highly entertaining.
I still love it. It did what it was supposed to do. It entertained you. You got your feet stomping, and at the end of it, you went like, "Oh, there was a message."
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, got the message. Okay,
a little bit.
You know, he's confused. Ain't we all?
Yes, that is right.
So any of the other. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean, there's a lot of great soundtracks, but those are like compilation albums, and we're not including those.
Yeah, no. That's the thing that I was, because after a certain point, they stopped doing soundtracks per se. They would take music and interweave it within the plot.
Right.
And that's the way it is now. And I just find I wish somebody would sit down and write an entire music. A soundtrack for a movie from start to finish, and everything on there is new.
So we hope to see that again.
Yeah,
so these compilations—it's just a lot cheaper to do the compilation thing.
But so. You know, a little musical trivia: The Graduate.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though Simon Garfunkel did an album.
Mm-hmm.
But it was originally, it was a soundtrack for the movie. They wrote it as a soundtrack for the movie. But the movie took so long to come out that they released the album. So the album became a hit and everybody thought, oh, they took the songs from The Graduate and put it in the movie. Mm-hmm. It was the other way around.
So that counts.
Yeah, that counts. But it was an okay movie.
Yeah.
I had some problems with that. But it was like, how do I put this? Confused white people.
All right. You wanted to pick up on another.
Yeah, let's take a break to do something to talk about some other more current things.
Okay. You want to do the break? We just go ahead and do it. Okay.
So I've been trying to stay away from the whole politics thing, but two things happened that just have to bear comment.
Okay.
One was the Republicans passing the health care bill and repeal Obamacare and replace it. And they didn't replace it with anything. It took stuff away, but they sit there going, it's like, well, this is, see, we really did a good thing. We took all those people who were young and healthy and led good lives. This is a quote, and led good lives. This was a quote from one of the congressmen. So we're giving them a break, you know, because at the other end, it's just all these sick people who are sucking up the resources.
Wow.
And I keep scratching my head. I'm like, okay, the whole point of insurance is to get everybody
to cover the sick people.
So it's like you buy car insurance, you're required to buy car insurance, so in case somebody gets into an accident, you don't get stuck with paying a huge hospital bill because the guy has to have insurance. So I'm confused as to why you have to have if you buy a car, you have to buy insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, you can't. Why aren't you required to buy health insurance? Because the whole point is you share the risk. And so they're saying, well, you know, the people who are sick, so by the time if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and maybe 50s, and you're in good health. And then suddenly you got diabetes, or you have a heart condition, or turns out you had a an enlarged heart that you never knew about, because yeah. now they have ways of testing to say, hey, you know, your heart's enlarged and you need to. So you've had this for your entire life. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that you had an enlarged heart and that that's going to kill you. But if you didn't have any insurance, why would you go get it checked? But if you have insurance, you could go to your doctor every year at least and get a checkup. And the insurance will pay for it.
You know, for them, it's all about money.
And
just spite.
Yeah, I'm sort of...
That's,
you know, we were trying to talk about whether or not these people have any empathy, and that all of these people are sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Not psychopaths, there's a difference.
Right.
I had to learn that in psychology. Okay. So these are all sociopaths. They have no empathy.
Empathy for
other people. And it's like, doesn't it bother you? No. I mean, it's like these people who get golden parachutes, but they fire 30,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't think that there's anything wrong with taking a $100 million golden parachute when that $100 million could have kept all of those people working
for
another
years.
10 years.
Yeah, another 10 years, right.
Yeah.
By which time people for another 10 years.
Yeah, by the time you'd have figured out how to keep them employed doing something else, because you would have improved the product.
No, but it's about them keeping their money.
Yeah, okay.
It's always how it's been.
So about keeping money. Mm-hmm. The other thing is they can't leave Obama alone.
Oh, right, about him getting paid from... getting paid from a corporation to speak.
Okay, but he's not getting paid. Yeah, the corporation is, but it's a healthcare conference, and it's sponsored by one of the Wall Street firms.
Uh-huh.
But there are other sponsors.
Okay, so I didn't know the details of that, but I didn't even care.
Right? Yeah, I'm for getting paid too. But it's like, nobody waits. They jump in when they meet. Like, you've got no information,
mm-hmm.
and then the next day he announces his library, but his library is going to be a learning center for kids to come in, to young people to learn skills and you know, all that kind of stuff. And he donates $2 million. Mm-hmm. He and Michelle donate $2 million.
Yeah.
Now I'm going like, okay, so between the two of them, they're getting $400,000 in speaking fees, and they're getting $65 million in book advances. Okay, so that still doesn't add up to $1 million. And they're donating $2 million.
Yeah, right.
So you
wait, how much for the book advance?
$65 million for both of them.
$65 million?
$65 million, yeah. Well, back in the day, Bill Clinton got like a $30 million advance, and Hillary got like a $50 million.
I didn't know that.
Those books sound like crazy.
Wow.
It's a $30 book.
Then how much are they making if they're giving them $50 million?
That's what I'm saying.
Damn.
Look, it costs $4 to print a large run. $4 a book if you do a large run.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that you're going to sell at least 20-30 million copies.
Yeah.
Okay, it costs you $4. You sell the book for $30.
Oh yeah. Great
and then then you give them $30 million. Yeah. And then that's an advance.
Yeah, an advance.
If the book doesn't sell, they have to give the money back.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's like, okay, we're gonna give you this big advance.
Yeah.
But if the advance is like, who's gonna pay for the book tour?
Mm-hmm.
Is the company going to pay for it? Are you going to pay it out of your pocket? Are you going to make independent bookstores pay your...
Mm-hmm.
There's so much shenanigans about this that just drives me crazy.
So it's like the music industry.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for all this?
Who's going to pay for all this? And then the other thing, so you know me, I can't be just let it go. So I went back and checked the charitable contributions for Elizabeth Warren.
Uh-huh.
Now she hasn't made as much money as the Obamas,
mm-hmm.
or she's certainly not in the category of the Trumps or the Mitt Romneys. But she did okay. She had a couple of books that sold well.
Mm-hmm.
She was a full professor at Harvard. Her husband's a full professor at Harvard. And so between the two of them over, I think this goes back to 1913 or so. 13, yeah, I think it was 1913 when mm-hmm. she was running against Scott Walker. And they turned in their tax returns. Mm-hmm. And it turns out her charitable contributions were something like 2% of her salary. Mm. She made like, between the two of them, they made like $600,000 or $800,000 a year for those 3 years uh-huh. that they had the tax returns. Scott Walker paid just a smidgen more, but it's like 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So 2% of, if you're making $600,000 a year, it's nothing. Okay? I got to thinking 1 year we donated a whole lot of clothes. We donated money to Katrina.
You're saying you don't think she donated enough?
Huh?
You don't think she donated
no.
enough?
No, okay. not when you're now yelling at Obama
got
about
mm-hmm.
him
okay.
accepting money from
right.
these corporations.
Right.
You know, and Bernie's running around. Bernie can't accept the money because he's still a senator.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she can't either. But it's like when she wasn't a senator, she was just a professor and she was making money being mm-hmm. a critic of Wall Street.
Right.
So, you know, y'all shut up.
Well, that's how they don't care. They know what to say that sounds good, but they don't operate that way.
No, it's just I keep hesitating. It's just like they're trying to obliterate Barack Obama from anything
sure.
while he was president.
Yeah,
we're gonna undo
yeah.
everything.
No matter what, even
no
if it was good.
Even if it was good, we're gonna get rid of it.
Yeah.
We're gonna take. I mean, they're so petty.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the Let Girls Learn campaign
yeah.
that Michelle Obama
they're
started.
They're defunding that.
They're, it's sort of defunding
oh,
it,
right.
But the thing is, and this shows you where the Trump mentality is. It's like, oh, we don't like that brand, so we're going to rebrand it. So it's like, what are you talking about branding?
Right.
It's Let Girls Learn. So you're going to say, how are we going to change it? Girls Learn? Or, you know, what are you going to do? We're going to come up with a new brand? It's not a brand.
No.
This is a program that we let girls around the world get an education because we're missing all this brain power.
Yeah, that's all they're doing. Like you said, they're just trying to get rid of anything that
yeah.
has his name on it or her name.
It's just, I just want to get to the, you know, I just want them, you know, be a fly on the wall with a recorder to them saying, it's like, finally just, okay, so now we can get rid of everything that nigga did.
Yep, that's all they're saying.
All they're saying.
That is all they're saying.
Yeah. Well, which is...
All right, well, that is this week's show.
Yeah, that's why we sort of ended it on a down note. Except
say,
I will add one
yes.
one good thing.
All right.
On Saturday Night Live recently, there was a kid show years ago called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Uh-huh.
And so they did a spoof of the show, and it was Where in the World is Kellyanne Conway?
Because she is just
because she has disappeared. So it's like, which so that cheered me up because you know I've always said that when she was spokesperson, I thought she was the most dangerous person in America because she could spin stuff.
Yeah.
And fortunately, you got stuck with Sean Spicer, who is terrible at it.
Yeah, he's terrible at
it. I keep waiting for his head to explode. Because it's like, I cannot tell no more lies.
I can't take it anymore.
Anyway, so, until next time.
Next time, keep fighting the fight.
Resist.